is recused in this matter. Mr. Pepperell, good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
My name is Don Pepperell, and I represent the appellant, plaintiff Kevin Royal. This is an equitable action to quiet title based on allegations of adverse possession. Kevin Royal's father and grandfather, on April 7th of 1987, acquired fee title to 220 acres in Otoe County. Through this property passed a 200-foot railroad right-of-way easement that was initially acquired through eminent domain proceedings by Midland Pacific Railroad Company on September 18, 1889. The underlying fee title to the easement right-of-way remained in the owners of record. In the 1930s, Loma, McGee, and Lois Benefield sold the adjacent properties but did not include the 200 feet underlying the railroad right-of-way. Thus, fee title to that area remained in McGee and Benefield. In October of 1988, Omaha Public Power District purchased by quitclaim deed the railroad right-of-way easement from Burlington Northern and Santa Fe. In a previous inverse condemnation action between Kevin Royal and OPPD, the Otoe County District Court affirmed that OPPD only acquired a railroad right-of-way easement through the quitclaim deed. The district court found that Kevin Royal did not own fee title to the real property underlying the railroad right-of-way easement. Finally, the court found that the construction of a 345 kV transmission line by OPPD sometime after the spring of 2007 was not incidental to operating a railroad. In this matter, Kevin Royal filed an inverse...
What's the implication of that? That it's not incidental?
The implication is not incidental is that arguably they are acquiring adverse, once they constructed that transmission, once it's completed, arguably that then would be an adverse use to the railroad right-of-way easement. Which this was...
Let me ask you a question. Did the railroad at the time it assigned its easement to the OPPD, were they still operating the railroad on those tracks?
Yes, they were.
So
at that point in time,
having done that, they haven't abandoned their right-of-way easement.
This right-of-way easement has not been abandoned today.
So they could convey their interest. I think, couldn't they convey their interest in the right-of-way that they own to someone else?
I believe so. They acquired, OPPD acquired by quitclaim deed. Yes, Your Honor, I believe that they could convey this right-of-way easement to someone else at some point in time.
But it's an easement, not a fee.
It's all they own is an easement, and that's all they
can pay. If the railroad abandons that, the use of that railroad, the title to the property reverts back to the owner, doesn't it?
That's correct. And in this particular case, it's interesting as to the trial court did grant on March 17, 2015, the Otoe County District Court entered an order extinguishing any rights all defendants except OPPD had in the underlying railroad right-of-way easement. So the trial court in this particular action extinguished all of the rights that all of the defendants had except OPPD.
Didn't that order default actually go to both OPPD and to Royal?
It accepted. The order specifically accepted Royal's claim for adverse possession as well as any claim that OPPD had.
And entered a default judgment in favor of both Royal and OPPD against everybody else.
That's correct.
Everybody else.
Everybody else.
For both parties.
For both parties.
Thank you.
So that just leaves Royal and OPPD in the game.
That is correct.
Okay.
And then the court finds that neither of them...
Neither of the court found...
So what is the status of this land?
Your Honor, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to that. I researched the issue, and I do not find any case on point either way that says that a trial court can just leave title hanging out there nowhere, which is, no, it's no man's land under this court order.
Well, the trial court can't make parties meet their burden of proof.
That is correct, but if the true owner produced no evidence
asserting their right here.
Also, we put...
OPPD claims the easement from the railroad and still operating that right of way, and the railroad allowed them to come in and put a tower on that right of way.
No, OPPD owns the right of way. So we say OPPD allowed
themselves... Because they didn't, when the railroad assigned that right of way.
Yeah, the railroad sold it quickly. They did put to OPPD, so OPPD...
Then I got a warrant to tie to that. I said, obviously the railroad isn't going to warrant the tower.
No, no. Obviously, Zoom knows that some of them got titled, and very few of the cases, very few of these tracts of land were acquired by Edwards, Edwards Domain. We're talking 1898 and 1889, they wanted
to. It is significant that the railroad is still operating that line and the right of way.
It's not been abandoned. So
it's true that use, even though it's very limited, the evidence showed that after 2004, the use for the railroad right-of-way as a railroad become very, very limited.
Well, I mean, if would you agree that if the railroad was no longer using that right-of-way, that that would revert back to the owner and they would have no right to the right-of-way at all if they abandoned the use of it?
If they abandoned the use of it, they would have no right to those areas where they have just an easement as
right.
compared to fee time.
Right, right.
That's an important point, is that Kevin Royal is not claiming adverse possession over the railroad right-of-way easement currently owned by OPPD. Mr. Royal, any use Mr. Royal makes of the subject property is subservient to and not hostile to the right-of-way easement. Further, OPPD's utilization of the property for the operation and maintenance of the railroad is a legal right of permissive use and not hostile to the underlying fee. So, OPPD cannot acquire adverse possession to the underlying fee because of this permissive use of operating the railroad. They're going to have to show some other use besides the use as a railroad because that's a permissive use. And further, the OPPD cannot give Kevin Royal permission to use the railroad right-of-way for something other than railroad because they don't have the authority to grant that permission for something that they don't have the rights under the easement. But I would point out...
I mean, to take it to an extreme, you're saying the railroad with its easement can't, on that right-of-way, can't permit people to come in and develop commercial businesses on that right-of-way.
In my opinion, no. And I don't think the easement language
because
doesn't.
Because the easement has to be related to railroad purposes.
Absolutely. Now, there are some cases, but if it is kind of related, and I don't know if it's in Nebraska, but if it is kind of related to railroad business, that they've allowed it. But part of that depends on how the easement's worded.
So can the railroad give a valid easement to OPPD who's going to use it for something other than railroad purposes?
Well, the railroad didn't give an easement. The railroad...
I mean a right-of-way. They just conveyed everything.
They quit claiming. You got whatever we got.
Yeah.
We're not guaranteeing anything.
But they never had anything but an easement.
Nobody ever had anything other than an easement. The law is that if you acquire railroad right-of-way through eminent domain, all you acquire is an easement.
Right.
And that's why both parties here, both OPPD and Royal, were seeking fee title with respect to that right-of-way area.
Absolutely. OPPD does not want us to acquire fee title because they put a transmission line out there.
Why does your client want fee title?
Because we want to own it. Partially because we don't be paid for that transmission line that's hanging over that going right between our property. I mean, we own both sides, and we thought we owned fee title. And I think we clearly showed the evidence. We acquired it in 1987. Thereafter, we farmed it all the time. They had a fence.
This tower interferes with your use of the property?
Oh, sure. Yes, Your Honor. Part of it is, I mean, if you knew the topography, it's great for acreage sites. The Nemaha Valley runs down through the middle and river, and the railroad follows it. They sit up real high, but then you have these towers that are right out there in vision. So just that alone, but it interferes with farming.
But you lost that case, did you not?
We lost that case because we didn't own the railroad right-of-way. We never got to issue damages. It was determined, a title insurance problem, but it was determined, and it was correct, so, that we didn't own fee title to the railroad right-of-way. It was back there in Bennettfield and because they conveyed the property out and excluded the railroad right-of-way, so they still owned it. So we had to first get title of their adverse possession and then hope to go to APPD and ask to be compensated for the transmission findings.
So back to your burden of proof. What did you show the court that was sufficient to meet your burden of proof here?
Okay, we planted oat, we planted wheat, and corn. We used it for farming, for pasture. The thing I think that the judge went off on, he talks about, he saw some trees and there's some vegetation in looking at an aerial photograph and said, well, there must not be cropland or something. Just based on, Kevin Royal testified that they used all of that property within the right-of-way for farming purposes, but we had, it's real steep, and so there were terraces, there were drainways, there were filter strips, mandate by the federal government.
How wide is the right-of-way?
200 foot.
Okay. 100 feet on each side.
100 feet on each side. An area of 50 feet on each side is fenced. With regard to Nebraska statute, the railroad has to fence that area, and they can allow farming to go on within that area, whatever it is. In this case, it was 50 feet.
But you were farming the other 50 feet.
Very accurately. And we were using the inside 50 feet for an access road. What, it was just one lane, so you only had to use one access road. You're not going to want more than that. We entered from the west side of the property and went down through it to check cattle, check the crops. Basically,
you're using that on the inside of the fence.
Inside the 50 minutes, yes. But the limit was, it was fairly limited because it was a busy railroad. Okay, from when they bought it in 87 until 2004, there was at least one 50-car train going through the property every day, and on occasions there were multiple times. This was not a safe place to be, and but they did use it as an access road, but didn't leave anything out there. I mean, you're careful, and I would quote that from the time.
Well, can you adversely possess an easement that was owned by the railroad that's then conveyed to OPPD?
We cannot. We are claiming the underlying fee title subject to or subservient to that railroad right-of-way easement. We cannot get adverse possession over them because they're not a hostile use. They have a legal right to be there, and we can't stop them.
Yeah, okay. So,
we would request the court remand, and I'm in favor of the planning and apply title and maintain subject property, which is the 200 foot right away.
Thank you very much. Mr. Laughlin, good morning to you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. Please support Mark Laughlin and Jacqueline DeLuca for OPPD. I want to start with the standard of review, which we agree is noble, but the case law does allow this court, if it chooses to accept the factual findings of Judge Funk that he made in this case. And one that I wanted to point out that if this court chooses to do so, then if you accept the factual findings of Judge Funk, the conclusions pretty much lead to an affirmance. And for example, with respect to the Royals, Judge Funk found that the Royals' use of the land was on a sporadic basis.
An affirmance for both.
Yeah, what's good for the goose is good for the gander if this is how you choose to go. Absolutely. Absolutely. With respect to the Royals' claim, though, what I wanted to point out is that the judge made specific factual findings on the sporadic use, the sporadic locations. He held that the Royals' farming was being done with the tacit approval of OPPD, which was holding itself out as the owner of the land. The evidence was clear that the Royals had not used the land for his own purposes. And also, there's really two independent bases here for affirmance of his ruling vis-a-vis the Royals. That's number one, that it wasn't adverse possession, open, obvious, notorious, etc. But also that they didn't meet their requirement to set out the meets and bounds as the court requires. And the reason is there was a disconnect between the surveyor who came in and said, here's the middle 100 feet, 50 feet on each side, and here's the whole deal, And the evidence that he presented, no one ever came in and talked about what was done vis-a-vis the survey. They came in and they talked about what was done vis-a-vis a fence, and there's some parts where there's no fence. The fence has moved over time. Some parts he's not farming outside the fence. Sometimes.
Well, how specific does that description have to be? I mean, you're talking essentially about a farm here and a railroad runs through part of it, and so does the eminent domain petition have to say, what it does say is you're talking about the entire, where this easement is, and 100 feet on both sides.
That's what it says. That's the easement.
That's the easement, and that's what the petition talks about, is it not?
Well, that's what he asked for.
That's what he asked for, and the court said I needed something more specific than that. So how much more specific would that be?
I think what the court said was that, you know, I said, hey, there's some sporadic use. You know, I had a cow that went through over here someday, and I had some people who were hunting on one part, but I'm not sure which one that I'm unable to identify, and I'm unable to tell you when it was, and it sure as heck wasn't continuous, and it wasn't adverse, and it wasn't open, and nobody saw it. Okay.
But that may be the answer to a different question. I think that the chief is sort of saying it's not a mystery where is an easement in a 50 feet or 100 feet either side. That's easily ascertainable and, of course, meets and bounds is for the public to be able to know who's holding what interest.
Correct, Justice O'Learman. And the point I was trying to make to answer the judge's question was that the evidence of what was adversely possessed was not that. It, frankly, a lot of it was to this so-called fence that didn't exist in some parts, that had moved over time in other parts.
Was a lot of it about farming? Some of it's been farmed continuously.
Well, you say continuously, but not up to the fence at all points. And we pointed out in our brief where there's no fence in parts, or he hasn't farmed up to the fence in parts, where he's farmed over the fence in parts. And the other thing is, you know, so OPPD, which is public utility, right, their deal, and this is uncontroverted testimony, they say, hey, you know what, we want these farmers, if they're not, you know, really interfering with our power lines, we want them to farm and get the income. That's what we want to do. That's the right thing to do. That's the Nebraska way. Okay? And now in the language of legal adverse possession, that's permissive. We don't have any problem allowing these people. Permissive is the opposite of adverse. And the other thing is, what message is this court going to send if it goes and tells OPPD and all the other utilities that are out in western Nebraska and Omaha and Lincoln that, hey, you know what, you better think twice about letting these farmers, you know, use some of the land because they can come back and get you.
Well, does it make a difference that this all began with a railroad easement?
Well, please tell me what you mean by that.
Well, you're now arguing essentially about your power line and not about the railroad easement.
Well, our power line on the easement, that's correct.
So when you say what kind of a message are we sending?
What I'm saying is that their use was really kind of farming and then all this other sporadic stuff. That's basically that, you know. They did not.
What else would you do with this property?
Well, you could. They could have farmed. You know, they weren't farming the whole thing. For example, the big case that they talk about, the case that they rely most, is the Wiedemann case. And in that case, the plaintiff himself built a fence. He excluded everybody else. He rented out the property. The defendant's missing in action. There's a lot more that they could have done. That's the whole point. It doesn't look like the other cases. You know, classic is if I'm your neighbor and I expand my house and I inadvertently go on your property, that's kind of the classic, okay? It's open, it's obvious, it's notorious, it's exclusive. I got everything if I can make the 10 years. Whereas here, it was none of that. It's a cow in January going across an undescribed part of this. It's people coming on, you know, them using, getting from the north part to the south part, and they're on some unspecified part, non-continuous. That's what convinced Judge Funk, and you can get this from reading his opinion, why they didn't need any.
Give me a geography lesson. Is the railroad running east and west?
Generally.
So the right-of-ways are north and south.
The
east-west right-of-ways. So
it's generally on this.
There's a south easement, and there's a north easement of the right-of-way because the railroad's running east and west.
For the court's purposes, and this doesn't run exactly, but for the court's purposes, you could think Royals own land above the railroad, north and south. Is one way, an easy way, and relatively accurate way to think of it.
Counsel, the actual, is this a typical railroad easement where it's built up, there's rock, and on top of the rock are actual railroad tracks?
That's absolutely right.
So, obviously, the railroad tracks were never farmed or mowed or anything like that.
That's correct.
Okay. Under adverse possession law, you're supposed to have a meets and bounds description of what you actually used adversely, correct?
Absolutely, that's our point.
So, did the Royals present a meets and bounds description, because obviously they didn't use the railroad tracks themselves, and maybe that whatever few feet outside of them, but the rest of it that they're claiming to have used adversely, did they present a meets and bounds description to the rest of it?
No.
They just used the whole 200-foot easement as their overall basis.
Their surveyor came in and said, here's the middle 100 feet, and here's the whole easement. And Judge Funk said, you know, the actual testimony as to the sporadic use or even the farming, they talked about a fence. It was disconnected.
Were the Royals claiming adverse use of the actual railroad tracks and ties?
Yeah, he's asking you to give him adverse possession of the entire 200 feet. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And there's absolutely no evidence that they used the railroad.
So who can ever possibly own this land, should we be concerned with that?
And I see Justice Stacey smiling. Here's my answer to that question. First of all, that question, as you phrased it, is not before this court.
Phrase it a different way.
Okay. Did the Royals meet their burden of proof on adverse possession?
And did you meet your burden of proof?
That's the other question that is before this court.
And right now, the judge has said, neither of you met your burden of proof.
That's exactly what Judge Funk ruled.
And your proof of meets and bounds was what?
Our proof of meets and bounds was the whole that we have paid millions of dollars and have been chopping trees and shrubbing bush, and we took care of the entire, it was really undisputed. Even Royal admitted that he saw us doing all this work in the entire right-of-way. And again, very, very quickly, you know, if you're gonna go with one or the other, one of the points we make in our brief is it's like this. It's a no-brainer. OPPD thought we owned it, and we took care of it, and we spent literally millions of dollars on that line.
But you never had anything more than an easement.
We thought we owned it.
Does that make any difference what you thought?
Well, it sure does in the sense that we did things that non-owners, we did things that an owner did. We cleaned up the brush, we took care of it, we spent millions of dollars, we took care of the trees. So does our belief...
Well, you're arguing now that you have, because you got an assignment or a quitclaim deed from the railroad,
yes,
who never could adversely possess that right-of-way, adverse possession doesn't apply to the railroad. But you're now saying that you can, because you took a quit claim deed from the railroad, OPPD can now adversely possess this right-of-way.
Well, and the Royals aren't disputing that. They agree that, for example, Mr. Pepperell just told you, our transmission poles are adverse use. Mm-hmm. We had a no private, don't trespass on our property sign that we put up there. We talked to Mr. Royal, and we paid him on an easement where we didn't think we owned fee. And we didn't pay him on that. And we go and we put up the transmission lines and he doesn't object.
How long have you been doing this?
Well, we bought the railroad right-of-way in, I believe, 1998.
So well, is this the... Oh, I apologize.
Okay. I'm just trying to keep up here. Adverse to whom or what entity?
Sure. Well,
adverse to an entity that has a right worth respect.
Fair enough.
Who or what is that?
Well, at the start of this case, that was everybody. And
a lot of them went out and left you two.
It left two boxers standing, yes. Right. Judge Stacy?
Is this the first case where OPPD has claimed by adverse possession a right to fee title in this property? There was prior title. Wasn't there prior litigation involving OPPD and whether OPPD had title?
The scope of the easement and whether OPPD, the bundle of property rights that OPPD acquired from the railroad, whether that bundle included the right to put up transmission lines, yes.
But actual fee title to that right-of-way area was not at issue?
That's correct.
So this is the first case where OPPD sought fee title to the area and where Royal sought fee title. Is that correct or incorrect?
Correct for OPPD. The Royals, I think, assumed or took the position that they owned the underlying fee in the first litigation, and we said, no, you don't, and the court agreed with us.
But that was not an adverse possession.
That's correct.
Premise.
This is the first adverse possession for them, too, yes.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Appreciate it. Obviously, we would like either affirmance of both or that the extent you're going to award it to one of the people that you give it to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. That concludes arguments for the day. The court is adjourned and you are excused.